grab your glass of wine,
unless you're driving,
and join us for this week's topic.
Hey, Demericana listeners, Benzie here.
And Wilkes.
How is everybody doing? How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. We took a break last week because I went to visit my dear cousin in Miami.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen Wilkie in
Benzie, leaving us again, of course.
I'm such a busy girl. I'm in high demand.
Oh my God, you're so popular. Always traveling.
Well, the thing is, I made it a point since last year to just not get stuck in Kissimmee and Orlando, and I finally have employment where I can afford to, like, go, yeah. Not only, like, financially, but, like, they actually give me days off and pay for it, so I'm taking advantage.
That's great.
I'm adulting at 100% right now.
We went to visit Miami months ago, I feel, but then I think you went on a good weekend. It was nice weather. We went, it was, like, a torrential downpour. So
no, it didn't rain once. It was super nice out. I mean, it was kind of chilly at night, but we were, like, hanging out, so it wasn't anything, like, you're sitting at a restaurant freezing your tail off at a chair. Like, we were dancing and it was fun. So we had a blast. I had a wonderful time. Wilkie, what are we drinking today? You
served We are drinking San Sebastian Rosa.
Her Latina came out.
Yep.
King is Rosa.
This is actually the sister winery to Lake Ridge.
And this one is in Florida?
So this is in Florida also, but it's in St. Augustine. Which, fun fact, so it's San Sebastian, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when we were there at Lake Ridge, we're like, oh, I like the San Sebastian wine. And the guy giving us our tour was just like, oh, so then buy, you know, Sunblush. And I was just like, what do you mean? And he's like, oh, yeah, we just label, they're the same wine, but we just label it with a different label and a different name.
So it's the same company,
it's
though.
The, right.
So they're not associated. They're the same parent.
They're the
company.
Same, right. It's Lake Ridge, and then Lake Ridge is in Claremont, and then St. Sebastian is in St. Augustine. So the same wine, like, they'll make it in the Lake Ridge winery.
And ship it.
But they'll put, like, you know, all the San Sebastian labels on it. And I'm just like, so you've been lying, being lied to, but I'll just buy it anyway.
Like, you know. Like, you know, I might we're here. You. That was actually a really good business for
you. Yeah, so we're just like, okay, you know, I'm over here thinking, like, wait, I want the San Sebastian Rosa, but then I also like Sunblush. And he's like, oh, okay, because it's the same wine. And I'm like, this is how uneducated I am with wine, because I literally thought I was having two different.
But there wouldn't have been a way for you to know unless you, like, knew the history.
It's like a placebo effect. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, okay. Now I'm just like, oh, it's the same thing.
But if I were to tell you, try these two wines and tell me which one you like best, you probably wouldn't have said, they're the same. You would have been like, I prefer this one.
I like this one over this one, right.
Without knowing that it's literally the same one. Probably from the same batch.
Yeah.
But funny enough, like, right behind you, if you guys could see, I see Vanique. And if you heard from our other podcast, Vanique one night did me in. I was shocked at how much alcohol.
Yeah.
Because it has vodka in it, and I didn't realize. It has 26?
Vanique is 20% alcohol.
28% alcohol. Can you believe that? So it's wine with vodka, and it has, like, a glimmer through it.
Yes.
And the reason I bring it up is because I saw a video of how to make your own Vanique.
Seriously?
Yes.
Vodka, Moscato, and natural fruit flavors.
He literally had, like, little jars and a funnel, and then he had, like, a jar of, like, literally barefoot Moscato.
So what gives it, like, that glitter? It actually looks like a lava lamp. Like, it's actually a cool bottle. Maybe we'll add it into the blog post, a picture of it.
Yeah.
So people know.
You know what it is? I saw how he did it. I'm like, duh, hello, it makes perfect sense. He would get, for instance, like, the Moscato, and then he would add, like, Midori. And then, like, a green apple vodka flavor.
Okay, so that's
so it would make sense. Uh-huh. And then he added, at the very end, the pearlescent dust that you put on cakes.
Oh.
And it never dissolves.
Genius.
So it dissolves. I guess it dissolves slightly, and it has, like, that little
swirl. Like, a little bit of sweetness, too.
But I was traumatized.
Literally, because we were so... When we got this bottle, it was a gift, like a housewarming kind of thing. And so... We didn't open it for a while because, first of all, I just like to, like, shake it and, like, see, like, the, you know, the gray, like, glitter. And then finally it was, like, one of our cousin's birthdays. And so
we were like,
what the heck? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we opened it and literally we were just drinking because it's one of those, like, Long Island, right? Like, silent
it's
killer.
It's like a sneak attack.
Like, it's like, this tastes like juice.
It was really, like, sweet and, like, you can taste a little bit of alcohol, but I think it was, like, disguised amongst whatever they put in there.
Yeah. So then,
like, after, like, my second or third glass, I was like, oh,
Wait a minute, what the heck? And then we went and saw how much volume it is, and you're just like,
screwed.
Like, it's the same thing with this Rosa wine. Like, Rosa. We shared a couple glasses of this before. You've had this before here. And so we're just like, do you feel drunk? And it was like two glasses in. I'm just like, kinda.
But it wasn't even like, you know, we generally get together and have like a glass of wine. And so you get used to how your body feels. Like, you know, okay, it feels like I've had one glass. For us, it's like you felt like you were twice as much.
Yeah, I'm just like, wait a minute. This can't be real. So, like, I'm just like, what? It's 11%. And we're which used is to, still like, a lot.
We're used to, like, the 7 or 8%.
Yeah, 7.
You know.
It's kind of the normal.
Well, I'm going to pour myself a little bit more.
All right.
Do you want some more?
Not for me. I still am working on this one.
Well, cheers to you.
Cheers.
So, Wilkes, what is our topic about today for our listeners?
So, for today, it's something pretty interesting. I mean, I hope you guys find it as interesting as I do. Is how I think it's so often that we criticize like young teenagers and how they come across on their online presence. But like, have we ever noticed that our parents any better? Like parents of like their newborn kids or just of toddlers, and now like it's become a big thing of like bloggers, like mommy and daddy bloggers, and they kind of overexpose their kids, and you know, just because now you can kind of make it a business, blogs, right? Like, you get money from page views and stuff. But then it's just like, well, at what cost are you getting a couple free, you know, pairs of Nikes or something because your kid is on the internet? And, like, much like the other episode we talked about, the social media monsters, like, the internet never forgets, right?
Yeah, you can always pull those back up. There's no way. I mean, there's very little chance, especially the more popular you get, that you'll be able to take everything back, you know.
And there's no way to really, like, because I follow a lot of blogs, like a lot of mom blogs, and I follow one in particular, it's Gomi Blog. Love them. I've talked to you about them a lot. And they kind of, like, call out. It's, like, kind of the place you go to just say what you really feel, because a lot of bloggers kind of edit, and they kind of filter their comments, and they don't let anyone calling them out on things. So kind of Gomi is there for you to just be like, look, this person is ridiculous because X, Y, and Z.
But you know what it is? Like, I can almost commiserate with the bloggers because they're thinking to themselves, like, this is a full-time job. This is my livelihood. And in some cases, they do monetize, you know, their children in such a way because they're taking pictures, but they still love that baby. So let someone tell them, wow, the baby has, like, a snaggletooth or something crazy.
But it's like, like, I understand you love your kid, and obviously you do, but it's kind of just like, at what point does it, can we compare that to, like, child, they're working, right?
Like child labor?
Right, because, so, you know, even like, child actors get paid, right? And so with bloggers, you know, these kids, they're infants, and they don't know what they're being exposed to. They don't know that they're online. You know, and so that's where it gets kind of iffy for me, I think.
I feel like, of course, every parent goes into it with their best interest in at heart. You know, they never do it hoping that, you know, I think a lot of it is innocently, you know, and so many horrible things happen to children who it did not come from their parent posting something. And I think that the whole basis of this was how much is too much exposure for your child.
Yeah.
Especially when this child, you know, has not had any say, you know, 10, 15 years from now, and this child sees a picture of themselves.
It's like, okay, so my mom has albums full of, like, the embarrassing, you know, bath time photos, right? And those are kind of, like, I know that they're not going to show up online if I Google myself, but now it's kind of just, it's, like, reserved for when you took home a boyfriend, right, or something, and it's just like, oh, your husband, it's like, oh, look when you, you know.
You're the baby.
It's a baby. But now it's like, you go on Instagram, and moms are putting their kid hashtag bath time, and it's kind of just like, well, there is a such thing as, like, online predators, right, and, like, you're making it so easy for, let's say, like, pedophiles to find these images, and you're exposing your kids when it's like, that's private. Like, I don't want to grow up, like, let's say this kid grows up and, like, has a Facebook and, like, or Googles themselves, because I Google myself sometimes just because I want to edit what's out there. But it's like, now they're going to be associated to this blog post that you're just like, what the, why are you posting me when I was little in the bathtub or using the potty or, like, doing something like compromising, you know, or it's kind of just like.
You were young, you had no idea what was happening, and you had no say. But then in my opinion, I feel like a lot of this is generational. And the reason we bring this up is because recently in France, there has been a law that's been enacted. Wilkes actually came across it before I did, and after I researched it a little bit, I was a little bit like, I can see behind the point behind it. But there was a law that now says that children can sue their parents for potential endangerment for having posted photos of them. And a lot of times it's like their lack of privacy. They had no say in this being posted. But a lot of times I can't help but wonder, well, we're living in a generation now where children are used to being photographed. They're used to, you know, the constant exposure that comes with living in the world that we do today. So is this law even relevant anymore? I think it's relevant in the sense that it's common for your parent to post a child, but is it common for a child to feel like a lack of privacy based on the fact that these children have that
happen already? I think kids, like, yes, like some teens now, they do overexpose themselves on Instagram and Facebook or whatever, but it's kind of like, at that point, it's your choice to post something, like, when you're a teenage, right? Okay. But it's, like, now when you're a kid, and those are, like, I don't know why when you're a little kid, like, if I see, you know, my mom sometimes sends, you know, Leo, my husband, she sends him some, like, baby pictures, and I'm just like, Mom, what the heck? Like, because he'll be like, oh, look what your mom sent me today, and I'm just like, I text her, like, what are you doing, you know? Like, I get embarrassed a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't imagine. Like, I read an article once that it was, like, it compared, like, moms who have public profiles. Mm-hmm. That it's, like, imagine would you go out as a mom, like, on the corner of the street and start handing, like, flyers of your kids' photos? Mm-hmm. Like, that's, you should think of it that way. Like, you don't know how many screen grabs people are doing. Like, if your page is public, you can't tell if, you know, so-and-so in, you know, Africa, or, you know, all these other countries now that you go and you're in China are screenshotting this, and some people, you know, actually use your images to make another profile.
You know what, though? Like, there was a situation that really angered me in regards to those screen grabs that you were referring to. Mm-hmm. And it was this, somebody had posted a picture of their daughter, and someone memed the little girl. Mm. Now, the little girl had an illness. I don't know if you remember. She had an illness that made her look different, and it wasn't necessarily anything that was obvious. Like, for instance, you look at a child and you can tell they have a cleft palate, and that's not something that anyone in their right mind would make fun of. But the child, you just would, right, like, a quick glance, you just think, okay, this is a unique-looking child, and when you look closer, you're like, okay, there has to be some sort of a medical condition behind it. So someone memed it, and they were like, oh, when they ask you if your child's cute, and the child looks like this, and it was supposed to be this funny thing. And the mother came on the news because someone located her, and she, like, posted this thing on Facebook, and she's like, I'm blessed to have my daughter.
Yeah.
And she's like, this is my angel. And when I see things like that, it reminds me that this is the world she has to endure. Yeah. She doesn't know she's different yet. The little girl was, like, a year and a half, you know?
But
and it was so saddening because it was one of those things where it's like, that's where you have to be careful. I feel like people should have the right to post pictures of their family.
Of course, yeah.
And there will always be someone who will look at the most innocent thing and turn it into something it's not. But was this child a victim of overexposure, or was this just someone who was very cruel and took a very common photo and made it something it's not?
Yeah. That's true, too.
Yeah, I feel like that in that case, it's not the mom's fault, because I don't think she did it on a blog. Now, the inverse is also true. Well, because I know you've told me of other bloggers.
Yeah.
That you're like, is this even how your family actually interacts? Yeah. How real is this interaction?
It's like, it almost feels like most bloggers now, they kind of like, their life is so staged. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, because, like, okay, I've attempted to do a blog, and, like, I'm just like, okay, I'm going to make this cool recipe I looked up. Let me take photos of it, right?
And you can't even enjoy it.
And it's just like, no, it's not, like, I completely forget. Like, I make it, and then, like, my friend will text me, like, oh, did you take pictures? And I'm like, oh, like, I completely forgot, because that's not where my mind is, right? But I feel like if I'm cooking, and then I'm like, oh, let me stop this and take a photo. Mm-hmm. Or let's, like, oh, you have to smile. And it's like, I couldn't imagine putting a kid, you know, like, all their family memories are going to be like, oh, yeah, the sponsored post that we did. Oh, you know, happy birthday with your sponsor cake. Like, you know, it kind of feels like too much of a commercial life.
Well, let's look at, for instance, John and Kate plus 8. That's, okay. At this point, it's no longer, you know, the family has divorced or the yeah. couple has divorced. But we know them. It was, they had twin girls, they did IVF again, and then were pregnant with 6 couplets. Mm-hmm. Now, these children did not have a say. And yeah. when Kate was asked, I really liked watching the show in the beginning, and then I really started disliking the interaction between John and Kate.
And even the kids got, like, even the kids. A little bit of attitude, right? Because I've yeah. seen a recent, like, interview where, like, the older girl was kind of, like, annoyed with Kate, which, you know,
it's common for a young... But all of that to say, she said, when Kate was going into it, she was like, I never had a chance to record memories of my children because she had raised 8 of them. So when they were approached for a show, granted, this was probably one of those first few shows that it was like a constant family series, probably the first few shows over a recent period of time. And she was like, I saw it as an opportunity to have my child's lives documented because I was missing out on those little moments. There was no one there to take a picture. I couldn't just stop and put the camera
on. Yeah, but it's like, okay, now you, just because you want your kid's life documented, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Hire a videographer. Like, don't, now you're actually sharing their life with strangers, mm-hmm. you know, and people mm-hmm. who kind of, almost like, in the same thing with the meme that you talked about, like, mm-hmm. I think there's people, the world is full of bad people, right? Like, yeah. there's good and there's bad. And there were people that were maybe glad when they saw John and Kate break up, right? Because mm-hmm. they had their own opinions formulated from an edited version of their life, yeah. you know?
They had, like, the whole, like, renewing their vows.
Right. And know. So then you see at the end of it, like, that they're not as, you know, they weren't as stable as they try to be, right? Mm-hmm. Because they ended up divorcing. It's just kind of like the 12 kids accounting. Like, this talked up family, they're, you know, a whole bunch of kids, they're into their religion, mm-hmm. and then it turns out that the son is, like, you know, a child predator. Oh my God. And, yeah. you know, like, so it's kind of just like, when is too much exposure, like, really bad, because you can fall, you know, when you get this in the forefront where you're just, like, made to be this perfect family and you're really not. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so that's how it is with bloggers. Like, kids, and it's, like, it's really weird, you know? Like, there's teens following bloggers and they're just like, oh my God, I want to be you. And it's just like, what are you aspiring to? Like,
goals. And life and all,
you know,
this.
Kid goals, family goals. It's kind of just that, like, is real. Come on.
Like, I'm not married, but I can imagine that marriage is not, the pictures that they take of people, like, playing yeah. video games together. This is my goal. Your goal is to sit on your couch day in and day out playing video games?
It's like
there are the times when you get a flat tire and when you have a tragedy in the family, and how do you, is that reality?
Right.
And we're not saying to expose every aspect of your life, but going back to that social media monster post from a couple of weeks prior, it's just people put that highlight reel out there.
Yeah.
And it's so appealing.
It's now, very edited.
There's actually a statistic that I read recently, and it says here that every 2 minutes today, we take more pictures than the whole of humanity in the 1800s. The first picture was like in the 1826. And, mm-hmm. you know, as photography equipment started improving, it started increasing like 1 million pictures a year, 2 billion pictures a year, 30 yeah. billion pictures. Now we're like in the 580 billion pictures a
yeah,
year.
Yeah, I can't even.
And when I think about it, it's because it's so accessible. When you and yeah. I were children, our parents had to go to the store, buy film,
right.
put it in the camera. They had to choose which pictures to take. So mm-hmm. generally they were posed photos because it was like, okay, all 4 of you stand there because I have 10 shots
yeah.
on this camera.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And you had to pose it. You looked nice. And it was like, okay. And then you bought those class pictures because that's the only way that you're going to get your kid to sit still.
With all your friends.
Yeah. You buy the class picture. Like, you know, the one from like Life Touch every year.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, we have a camera in our hand at all times. So you're taking a picture of your kid having a tantrum on the floor. You're
yeah.
taking a picture of, like, food on their shirt.
And even that, like, okay, like, moms highlight the good, right? Like, mm-hmm. oh, look at my kid. It's so cute, mm-hmm. naked, whatever, which is wrong in my eyes. Absolutely. But, like, they also show kids having tantrums. And, like, to me, like, unless I have a personal connection with the kid, like, my sister's kids, and, like, mm-hmm. she'll post, you know, I don't live near them anymore. So, like, I kind of... I want to see them, like, I want to see pictures of them,
mm-hmm.
but she has a private account, and so, but But it's like, if I see another person's kid, like someone I don't know, I'm kind of just like, oh, it's a cute kid. And like, you know, keep going. Like, I'm not like, oh, this is what I want my kid to look like. Because obviously I'm not going to have a blonde haired, blue eyed child, right? Like, it's not going to happen for me.
And again, we're speaking as two girls who don't have children. So maybe when we have children, we'll be singing a different tune. And we're like, no, my child is the actual cutest child in the world.
Oh, my mom says to no. My mom said something, used to always say that no, you know, every baby is the cutest baby in the world because every mom thinks so.
Yeah, you. When they say that's a face only a mother can love.
Yeah, it's like it's a true.
Literally, like this child can be hideous, and your mother will think you are the cutest.
You know,
thing in the world.
I personally think babies are just cute, right? They're innocent and they're just so cute.
Yeah,
but there's like sometimes like only kids that moms can love. Like yeah. If a kid is really bad, and you're just like, go to your mom because I can't even handle you right now.
So, going back to this law in France, I had a question, and I didn't do the research on this only because this kind of recently sparked into my mind, and I was wondering what your opinion was. So, I was saying, is this law even still relevant? And what I'm wondering is this something that current adults can retroactively sue a parent for if they posted something 10 years ago and you're like, mom, you posted this picture of me? Or can a current adult say, hey, mom, you posted this picture of me as a child when I was 2. Mm-hmm. I had no say. You went ahead and posted it without asking me. I'm going to sue you. Or is this more like a preventative tactic so that pictures posted today are the ones that, like, where is the statute of limitations?
Right. That's a good thing to say. Because obviously you're not going to be suing, like, okay, let's say they posted 10 photos. Mm-hmm. So is it going to be a collective thing too? It's like all of these photos in this age time frame. Mm-hmm. I didn't want them on there. Obviously, I couldn't give you consent. Yeah. So what is the age of consent? Like teenage?
What is the age of consent at that
middle
point
school?
When you're talking about legally, at least in the, you know, in the United States, your parent has a right to you.
Right.
And you are, quote unquote, their property, you know, and then you see about children emancipating themselves from their parents or being taken away from their parents. Mm-hmm. But at that point, they become a ward of the court, or if they're emancipated after a certain age, it's because they can show that they can support themselves. The child belongs to the parent. The parent makes decisions for the child.
Yeah.
Because the child is incompetent to do it on their own. So it's almost like, are you suing the parent for what they had a right to do anyway?
True, but then is it, like, fair that you're potentially putting your kid in a dangerous situation? Because I did, like, in the same article that I was reading about the handing out photos, like, you know, to strangers, it's like whenever, like, now these, like, risky images are so readily available online, like, you know, like, let's say there are there's really gross, you know, demented people,
and
anything makes it so now it's like they could just go on Instagram and search, you know, hashtag potty training, you know, when they have kids without their underwear on, you
know,
hashtag bath time, hashtag, you know, whatever, right? So it's kind of just like, you know, and I did in the same article, what I'm getting to is that whenever there's, like, images found on, like, in a case like that where there's, like, a child predator and they have photos on their computer, and if they recognize and they run and they know who the picture is of, they've got to contact the person and let them know, like, hey, we found this image on so-and-so's hard drive and it's of you and this thing. So it's kind of like, do you imagine, like, can you imagine being, whatever, 18 in college, and then you get a call, and they're like, oh, we found this when you were, you know, when we were investigating this case of an image of you in the bathtub
when you were
a kid because your mom posted it online. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd feel like that's such a violation of private, like, that's a private, it should be private, right? Mm-hmm.
It's impossible to create a law for every potential crime out there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like justice systems should be continuously evolving without being so restrictive necessarily. Mm-hmm. Because this becomes one of those things that become a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Okay, so now a child can sue a parent, but is there a statute of limitations? Is there a threshold as to, you know, the actual motive behind it? Was the child an actual perceivable danger?
Yeah.
Because, for instance, if I were to take my nephew out and then I were to take a picture of him in the park, and then I go and I post a geotag of where we are on Instagram or Facebook, then I'm being ridiculously stupid.
Careless, yeah.
Because I can just put my phone away in my purse, I look up, and my nephew's gone.
Right.
Because someone who follows me, because I have 500 friends on Facebook, who I may or may not know,
sure.
are like, oh, Liz Benny's nephew to me, he's beautiful. Liz Benny's cute little nephew is in the park. Let me go. I know exactly where they are. She just posted it 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Or they know that they frequent it. So now you... And there's very few ways that you can prevent... Because you don't even have to tag yourself. You can be in
Once
the store.
Once it's out there, that's it, right?
But I guess what I'm saying is, like, I can be in the grocery store with my nephew, and all I have to do is take my eyes away from him for 1 minute. So there's always going to be someone looking to do something crazy. But you just open up your child to so much more danger.
Right.
When you are doing things that are ridiculous, like geotagging your photos, or saying, like, come visit us at A, B, and C place, or we're staying at this hotel.
Right.
You know, so it's like, so dangerous.
I was talking to this about this to one of my friends, and her sister is, like, a nanny.
Mm-hmm.
And in her contract, it says, like, she cannot post photos of the kids on her social media. So it's kind of like, well, now... Okay, yes, kids can sue their parents, but can parents now sue caretakers? Like, there's been, you know, cases I've heard of, like, you know, care of babysitters posting the kid they're babysitting almost as if they're their child, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they kind of pass it off, like, oh, giving him that. Or, like, let's say I'm babysitting my niece and nephew, and I post a picture of them, like, well... Now that's me, right? Not the parent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things, like, I get what the law is trying to do, but it's true. Like, it's so much of, like...
It's so broad.
Yeah.
And really, it's like, okay, so who has the right to sue? Will it be the child suing the nanny? Will it be the parent
suing the nanny?
And if it's the parent suing the nanny, then how does that set... I mean, doesn't that set a precedent indicating that the privacy rights belong to the parent?
Yeah.
In regard, you know, on behalf of the child?
Right.
You know, so I don't know. There's a lot of legal jargon in there and a lot of legal ins and outs that I could not possibly be aware of.
Yeah.
And, of course, France runs by its own, you know, laws versus
right.
the United States. But it's just the principle of it, I cannot see that happening in a place like America.
I
cannot see that ever translating.
I mean, you would hope so, right? Because remember in a couple years ago, like, where it was kind of like a lot of like suicides going on because so much bullying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And social media bullying. And I feel like, you know, I'm so terrified of like schools nowadays, right? Mm-hmm. Like kids have to deal with bullying in so many aspects of their life. Like I remember like for me and, you know, probably for you, it's like you were in school and I used to get made fun of because I have really big eyes. And so I was really thin. When I was little, so, like, my eyes...
It stood out.
Yeah, it was, like, that Pine Sol commercial. You know the lady that, like, would...
Oh, yeah.
They would call me that. And then I had really long hair, and they would call me Pocahontas, and I really hated that. But it's, like, once I left school, it was, like, whatever. And then deal with it the next day, and, like, you know, I'd, you know, be like, whatever, you know, you're... Rubber, I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever.
And if it got severe,
your parents would go and it'd be over, right? Mm-hmm. But now it's like, okay, they deal with it at school.
They go home.
Then they go home and they check on Facebook. It's on Facebook. It's on Twitter. It's on Instagram. It's on Snapchat. It's on like so many media platforms now that it's just like, it'll go viral. It'll go like, it's one of those things that they can't escape from it. And it's almost like, well, what if a kid gets old enough and let's say a blogger's kid, they're old enough and they start Googling and maybe their parents are kind of like weird or they did something really dumb on their blogs. And it's just like, well, now they're associated to that and now they're going to be made fun of and they have such an arsenal of photos to choose from because their parents posted their whole, you know, livelihood on their Instagram.
Funny story, and it's a little bit related but not. And it came from a good intention, which... could have gone one of many ways, and it was the Rebecca Black story, and I was so intrigued, and BuzzFeed actually
made...
That's
the Friday, okay, yeah, I love
that. Poor child, she was crucified, essentially.
Yeah.
Because it was just the perfect storm of a lot of, you know, it was mismanagement, I think, a lot of it had to do with just her parents, as a gift to her, were allowing her to, like, record this video and potentially become famous. Honestly, the song wasn't as terrible as other songs I've heard. But, I mean, it was terrible
it was
in the sense
it
that
funny.
Other songs have been just as terrible.
Yeah.
But I felt like she had a lot of backlash. And now she's, like, an older girl living in California trying to make a career. And her name is Rebecca Black. and people know her. And there was a line that they're like, you know, she's very pretty. If you look up, if you literally look up, like, where is Rebecca Black now? In BuzzFeed, you'll see the article. She's, I think she's like 18 now. Mm-hmm. And this girl has even said, like, she'll be out and some guy will approach her. And then he kind of looks at her like he recognizes her. And then he remembers who she is. And it's, like, really affected her dating life. It can potentially affect her future career choices. Yeah. She can no longer pursue a singing career because she's going to be haunted by this Friday thing.
That's true.
There are still memes and GIFs about the video where it was just her and her friends, you know? Yeah. And this was a poor child, a poor little girl. Not poor, but, like, she was this... It was an unfortunate circumstance where her parents were trying to do something good for her. That's how all of these artists become famous, because their parents helped them. And this was just the perfect storm of a bad situation. And that's one example of an innocent plan gone awry, you know? And it's just going back to what you were saying, now your life is tied up to this one thing your parents did. We can only hope that these are, like, passing fads where your parent might have said or done something stupid, and you were involved, and now 3 or 4 years down the line, people forget about it.
Yeah.
I just, to me, Rebecca Black was such a major, like...
It's
just, it's one of those things where the child unfortunately becomes the victim, even though the parents were not trying to harm them.
Right.
So I can see why the law makes sense, but I think the intention of the law is good, but in practice, can it actually come to fruition in a logical way?
Yeah.
So what other, I mean, did you come across anything else on the, I thought it was interesting that the fine is like $50,000.
Yeah,
like
that's 45, crazy.
Or like a year in prison.
That's nuts. Like, that is definitely something to say, heck no, I'm not posting anything, right?
Yeah, but then you also as a parent think, like, my child would never do that to me.
I didn't really, like, it's probably poor judgment. Like, I don't know, does it mean that if, like, let's say the parents' stuff is private, so it's only for family and friends, like, is that okay? Or is only if it's public. That's true, too.
You know, like, there are people, my Instagram account for a while was public, but, I mean, private, but people would add me, and if I recognized them from, like, one party that I went to and I had, you know, a 2-minute conversation, I would add them.
I'm really selective. I don't let a lot of people follow me.
I don't post too many private things, luckily. I don't like posting all of that on my life. You know, I post what anybody can readily find anyway.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I'm feeling comfortable to post.
Like, because, and it was more so when I started applying to, like, grad school, because I had, like, it was, like, right when Facebook was getting really popular, and where, like, now bosses or, like, potential employers or, like, schools would, like, kind of do a dossier on you and, like, research anything, and I had, like, a counselor have a meeting with all the people that were going to apply, and they were like, look, like, Facebook owns your stuff. So whatever you have in there, like, you might delete it, but they still own all those photos, you know? Then he was like, people will judge you even what your friends post on your wall.
Because of, like, who you associate
yourself with. I was just like, and it was like, it was in the time where, like, a lot of those e-cards were, like, really popular and, like, they'd be, like, funny, but only, like, if you knew the context, like, there was, like, a lot of inside jokes. And it's just, like, you know, and then you always have that one friend that's, like, super inappropriate and, like, would post, like, you know, things that you probably don't even agree with on your wall, right? So I was just like, oh, heck no. So I'm going to delete all this. And I went in and I spent, like, a whole day deleting Facebook because it's, like, the hardest thing to do.
Oh, my God, yes.
And, like, then I would, like, go back and constantly, like, Google myself, like, what would show up, like, what's the top 5 stuff. And then I was, like, finally comfortable with everything that was there. And I'm just like, Jesus, I could imagine if, like, you know, there was way more, like, Instagram posts or, you know, now in the time where there's, like, blogs and, you know, your photo might have been shared 1,000 times because it went viral.
Mm-hmm. And you do not, there's no way for you to control that. There's no way for you to control it. There's no way for you to know this is going to be the picture.
That'll be the first thing when you Google yourself, like, you know?
Now, memes have, like, a shelf life of about a week. And so right now, I was like, damn, Daniel, back at it again with the white net.
Yeah.
It's already getting old. By the time that we post this, it'll be like, oh, my God, that's so old. And it literally came out, like, a week ago. But all of that to say, he did not do that thinking this is going to go viral.
Right.
This is a compilation that someone else did. And it's like, now this poor guy is
Daniel. And the crazy thing is that it's a Snapchat story. And the whole thing about Snapchat is that it goes away. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it's just like, what the heck?
Like, how do they keep it? How does this person know?
Stay all fluid? Like, it's like multiple days.
Like, how? Yeah, how did somebody know, I'm going to record this one? Keep this. I'm going to keep this one too. Oh, look, I'm going to make a composition.
Exactly.
And, like, it's just, it might have been very innocent. He probably saved it himself and sent it to his friend Daniel, and it passed on from there.
So it's one of those, like, wait a minute, guys. Like, you know, the whole idea concept of Snapchat is that it disappears after 24 hours. No, it doesn't.
Clearly, it does not. And there are literally apps that it's, like, SnapSave or something.
Yeah, and now there's, you know, the whole drama with F. Jerry and the Fat Jewish. Like, they repost memes, and they don't even credit where they get it from. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just like, okay, I can post something. Someone else will repost it, not tag me, add a caption. That person, someone else would repost it, change the whole git or meme, post it, and now it ends up in like a different comedy, you know, the Fat Jewish Instagram, and now it's gone like, you know, with all his followers.
All his 1 million.
And it's just like this little web that you're just putting out there. So, okay, here you go. This is my kid.
So, should we be afraid to share these little loves of ours? Because I post pictures of my nephew, and I never think twice. I mean, of course, he's always clothed. He's never doing anything that will embarrass him or his family. You know, and my sister's like, tag me, and she loves it. You know, she never feels uncomfortable to this day. She hasn't told me
anything. Well, because they've been pretty, like, PG, right? Like, they're all, like, regular posts.
And it's not like I'm a blogger who has, you know, 1 million
thousands
followers.
Yeah.
It's just me, my friends, my family. If you don't like my nephew and you don't know him, I scroll right past my friends, nephews, and nieces. I'm sure they do the same to me.
Yeah. So it's one of those, like, okay, but you need to know your audience, you know? Like,
you just couldn't possibly know which is going to be the picture that's going to cause the uproar. You could not possibly.
And you don't know your followers. If you have a public, you know, social media, it's like, come on, guys, use a little bit of discernment, right? Like, you know, I don't know.
So, Wilkes, what is your dumb moment? It sounds like you're headed in that direction with this. Like, know your followers.
Yeah, my dumb moments would be, like, know your followers and be, like, you know, post what you would want online. Like, okay, you wouldn't post yourself
naked in the bathtub.
So don't post your kids naked in the bathtub, because we have all the same, but like, yes, there's child predators out there, right? Like, don't do that to your kid. I feel like that's such a bad thing.
Yeah.
That would be my dumb moment.
For me, my dumb moment is clearly this law is in place because enough situations have happened. This doesn't happen from one isolated case.
Right.
This has to be enough things that have affected someone negatively. So my dumb moment is your child will one day be an adult with their own life to lead and their own children to take care of. And you also, of course, want to protect your child in every way. So for me, my dumb moment is do not put yourself, your family, your child in harm's way by posting geotags.
Yeah.
If you can be like some bloggers that I know, who they're not necessarily mommy bloggers, they're just bloggers who have a child, they take a picture of their child from the neck down. So nobody knows who their actual baby is. They don't want to show their baby on the camera. Or they only see is the baby's feet in the background or
something. I just think it's so funny that like celebrities are more concerned with their kids' privacy than we are, I feel, right?
Because, I mean, they are more targets than ours are. But I think that would be my dumb moment. Like, in everything you do, I'm sure as a parent, you already do it. So let it carry on to social media. Put your child first. Their safety has to be priority. Remember that if you have 100 people on your Facebook that love your child, there will be one or two who don't care. And then there will be one or two who care for the wrong reasons.
Right.
So just keep that in the forefront. Don't be afraid. We all like cute baby pictures from time to time. You know, you want to have your child look back and share those pictures, but just know that we live in a world where it's gotten smaller and smaller every day. And your child is going to grow up to be an adult and can very well sue you for putting a picture up.
And you'll go to jail.
You'll go to jail because this kid put up. You know, so just keep that in mind. Thank you guys so much for allowing us to pick this law apart a little bit. We've touched on social media several times. I would suspect that it's not the last time you'll hear about it.
Probably not.
So let us know what you think. Sound off in the comments. If you know us on Instagram and Twitter and you already follow us, go ahead and write us what you think about this topic. Do you have a kid? How often do you post pictures? Are you in agreement or in disagreement with the law? Don't forget to follow us if you do not already follow us.
Right. Demericana.
And don't forget to also email us. We are at DamericanaPodcast@gmail.com.
Yep.
We also have our Damericana blog, which is at WordPress, so don't forget to look us up there. Mm-hmm. It also, we always post a quick snippet. If you were not able to hear the entire podcast and you want a little abridged version, go there, send it to your friends. We want this to be a place where we can all kind of chit-chat together. So let us know how you feel.
With your glass of wine.
With your glass of wine. Oh, and that's another thing. If you guys have recommendations for wine.
Because I think we're sticking to the same
Barefoot
winery.
Barefoot's Lake Bridges. So if you want to sponsor us, we love you, Barefoot.
Yeah, we love you,
Lake Ridge / San Sebastian. Let us know what you think. Last week we had beer. This week we have wine. Next week we might have a little something different.
Maybe we'll have some Vinique.
Oh my gosh, maybe we'll have something to eat.
Then it'd be extra fun podcast.
Don't forget to tune in for that. Well, thanks you guys. We look forward to hearing from you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.